This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
The enemy to our soul is fear. Because what fear is going to do, fear acts similarly to faith. See, fear is like anti-faith. And what we have to look at in our lives now is that the fear part of our lives, those things, listen, that's just the deception of the enemy. That's what the enemy's going to use. And he's going to try to deceive us into getting our eye off the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus and onto our situation and our problems. And let me tell you, those things are factual. They really are. They are legitimate and they're factual. But let me just tell you, what trumps facts is truth. Because what the truth brings in is the supernatural. Facts are natural. But you know what? I didn't give my life to Jesus to live a natural life. Did you? I didn't want to be ordinary and just normal. Man, I've got a 40th high school reunion coming up, and these guys. And you know what? Those guys now, after being a Christian for 35 years, these guys aren't looking for me to come and just be normal and me to be natural. They're expecting the supernatural. They're expecting the extraordinary, not just the ordinary. And see, but that's what the world's looking for you. See, we're thinking the world's stiff-arming the church, and they're not. They're stiff-arming religion, yes, and they're stiff-arming the ordinary and the normal. If that's really going to be us, if what we're going to produce is what people can produce, why do we do it? I want to produce what people lined up, hooked up, baptized in God produce. How about you? So let's get into the Word a little bit. And let's talk about this. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what's the enemy going to do? The enemy's going to try to get you out of faith. All faith is trust. And the enemy's going to try to get you out of trust. How's he going to do that? He's going to get your eye off the mark and on a little bit of fear. And you know what? It might start off with just, I'm mildly concerned about this. I got a little bit of indigestion. I got a little heartburn over this issue. I'm upset about it just a little bit. And it's little by little. What he's going to do, he's going to try to boil you like a frog. If he throws you in boiling water, you're going to jump out. But you know what? If gradually that water goes from cold to cool to lukewarm to hot to boiling, that frog's never going to realize it. And that's what's happened in America. See, the problem with America today is that we get our needs met and we don't need God. But you know what? It doesn't meet our need. All it does, it deceives us into thinking our need is met. Because there's so much opulence and there's just so much. Man, really helping people. And the whole idea of this now is that little by little, man, we're in that cauldron getting boiled. It's time for you to jump out and start believing God. For you comes to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Man, love conquers fear every single time. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, a sound mind. See, this verse right here is a verse that you have to commit to memory. We can't be forgetful hearers in this. This is something, if you're taking notes, you write it down, even though it's in your Bible. Man, you write it down. You circle and highlight this verse in your Bible. Why? You got to remember it. Man, you know why? Because what the devil's going to do, he's going to encamp about your dwelling and your house and your life and your job and your kids. And you know what he's going to try to do? Lead you into a spirit of fear. But God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. But what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Man, able to make the right decisions. We are not a people that can't make a decision. Man, I'm telling you, the world's full of indecisive people. What we've got to do, what I love about the Navy SEALs cannot make a wrong decision unless they don't make a decision. That's the only way it can be wrong. Man, I'm telling you, decide who you're going to serve tonight. Decide who you're going to trust, what you're going to believe tonight. You're going to believe the facts? You're going to believe the cards that were dealt you? Are you going to trust God, believe what God's word says? The Bible says, let God be the truth and every man be a liar. Ready? Number one, fear begins with a lack of preparedness. I'm just telling you, anytime I've walked into fear in my life, I was ill-prepared. So we have to be prepared. And guess what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in heavenly places, right? Principalities, powers. Man, some of you guys will think, man, let me just help you. Can I help you a minute? A little sidebar here. That's all addiction is. Addiction is a bad habit, listen, with a principality attached to it. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in heavenly places. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in heavenly places. But you know what? The Bible says no weapon formed against us will prosper. Man, some of you guys that are suffering from addiction, you know what? You might think you're hiding it and nobody knows. Let me just tell you, there's a principality. There's a power. There's rulers of darkness in heavenly places that guess what? Just keep you choked off from the word. The word won't operate in your life. And you know what? It's not just going to be that little area of your life that you've got that addiction. It'll, you know what? It's going to spoil the rest of your life because the devil's not going to be satisfied with it. And what he wants to do is he wants to counter the work that God wants to do in your life. Man, for people that are in poverty, man, you know what? Poverty is a curse. Sickness is a curse. It's not God's will for you to be sick. God didn't put that on you. Man, premature, spiritual death, it's not God's will, it's a curse. Man, if things around your life aren't alive and thriving, that's one thing about my kids. Man, I looked at a little bit of the video and I saw Sandy and the kids up here and it was like, oh my gosh, they're thriving. I'm overwhelmed with it. I'm just so excited about it. But listen, man, there's still battles every single day with them. Man, I can't, as a father, I can't take my eye off the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus as a dad. I got to get up every day ready to fight. Man, what? I've got to be prepared. I've got to have the word in my heart. Man, if somebody in here, let me tell you, there's not an issue we face in here that somebody couldn't come up to me. Somebody couldn't come up to Eric. Somebody couldn't come up to Tom. Somebody couldn't come up to Glenn. Somebody couldn't come up to Vanessa and say, man, I got this issue. And let me tell you, without hesitation, there would be a word. There would be a promise. There would be a scripture. There would be something that would counter that. And see, that's what we need. Because our God is bigger, our God is better, our God is more powerful. But listen, only as much as we're prepared. Man, the devil can't keep lying to you about thinking that I can't do it. I'm not mature enough. I don't have this down enough. I'm not ready enough. You have everything you need right now. Man, if you just stumbled in here off the street and you take this word to heart, it's more. Let me just tell you, you have received more ammunition and more of it. Are you listening to me? More ammunition, more arsenal than the devil could ever throw at you in your whole lifetime. You've received that much in the last 5 minutes. That's how powerful this word is. Man, it's not fair. Life's not fair. Yeah, you're right. We win. I don't ever lose. I refuse to lose. You know why? I'm not going to quit. See, that's the attitude we have to take. There's no arrogance. It's not me. Let me tell you, I was a loser. That's why I had to give my life to Jesus. I was a loser that thought he had the world by the tail. But guess what? I was deceived. You know what hit my life for the very first time in my life? A spirit of fear. It was crippling. I couldn't get to Jesus fast enough. See, and that's how we have to understand this, how we have to look at this. Fear begins with a lack of preparedness. So what do you have to do? You got to get prepared. How do you get prepared? You come to church. You sit by somebody that's studying the word, reading the word. If somebody's on their Facebook or doing something right now, move. Sit by somebody that's getting as much of this as they can. Because listen, you can go places where they'll play. They'll slap fight with you. It'll be all easy. This is not that kind of place. I'm not here to play. I get 52 Wednesdays a year. This is one of them. That's how I look at it. This game day for me. This matters. Man, somebody's going to give their life to Jesus tonight, right? Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to be healed. Somebody's going to get delivered tonight. Why? I'll tell you why. The only reason why is this is Wednesday. Hey, wake up, smell the pipe, you got coffee. It's Wednesday, stupid. We've got to get this done today. We get 52 of them a year. People come in here and come to church. And you know what? Their hearts go like this, just a little bit, and open it up. Man, you got the second mile on Sunday nights. You got Janelle English teaching. You got Jeremy teaching. You come in here and put a demand on the gift that's on their life. Do you understand? There's a gifting in their life to deliver the word. You put a demand. You come in here on Wednesdays, on Sundays. Man, you put a demand on the gift in my life. Man, you don't need Bill Shear. You need Christ in me, the hope of glory. You don't need the words that I could give you. You need the words that God gives you through me. See, that's how this works. God used to use stuff. God used to use an ark. God used to use the temple. God used to use a cloud. He used to use fire. No, he doesn't use that anymore. He uses people. He uses men and women. That's why this is disturbing. Man, if I really sat down and the gravity, when Pastor Sandy and I really talk, and this is a couple times a week now usually, and it has been for 22 years, and we talk about the gravity and the responsibility of what we do here, it gets serious. Watch, it gets serious that fast. It is. Man, why? Because, man, this is hope. Anything out there? No hope. Just, it glitters. It's sparkly. It's no hope. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And man, Paul's talking here about unforgiveness and bitterness and things that we hold against people. But we can't be ignorant of the devil's devices. So number two, we have an adversary. He's going to try to deceive us into fear. That's all he's going to do. It's all he has to do. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys in here are susceptible to fear? Don't raise your hands. But you have stuff going on in your life that you're susceptible to fear. Your husband leaving, your money not making, man, your job not lasting. You know what's going to happen? Man, you think about in Dallas today, they found Ebola. There's a guy in a hospital that came from West Africa. I'm just telling you, all this stuff, what does it do? It breeds fear. Man, some yahoo got on the front lawn and into a door of the White House. It's like, what does it do? It breeds fear. It's like, no, you know what? We've got to understand, we're not buying into that. So what do we have to do? We have to be prepared. We have to understand that what the enemy's going to try to do is deceive us into fear. So what do you, and I'm telling you, there's a regression to this. See, there's a progression to God's word. Man, the progression of God's word is we start to grow. The progression is that, man, we're the seedling, and then we're the plant, and then we're the stalk, and then there's the ear, and then there's the full ear, and man, we just begin to grow. But you know what? There's a regression that comes with fear. He's going to try to deceive us into fear. That's why we have to go to the Word. I'm telling you, when you start recognizing the deception of the enemy, because the facts of your life are lining up for you being in a worrisome state or fear or anxiety, go to 2 Corinthians 2:14, one of my favorite verses. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. The devil's trying to lead us into fear, but God leads us in triumph. If you're being led in triumph, you know what? You're not going to take that exit of fear in your life. You're going to stay on the highway of holiness. And it's true. Man, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, you got to sow the word. That's what you're going to reap. Number three, the devil knows where you'll let your mind go. Now listen, this is the tricky one. Two things the devil can't do that I know of. The devil can't read your mind, and the devil can't understand your prayer language. See, when you pray in the spirit, when you pray in an unknown tongue, it confuses the enemy's camp. It builds you up on your most holy faith, okay? And so that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I guess, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or the fullness of the Spirit, however you put it, back in the church days, I guess. But But this is just all of God you can get. You get filled with the Spirit of God. And evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God and evidence, it's not all the evidence, but and evidence, is that you're praying in an unknown tongue. It's foreign to your intellect. Your mind's unfruitful. But you know what? The devil can't understand that, and it brings confusion into his camp. All right? And that's what you want. Well, you want your enemy confused. Because you know what? He's the author of confusion. So if he can't get involved in your prayer life because he can't understand it, then you know what? The confusion that he's aiming, the curse of confusion, the Bible says a curse causeless has no effect and has to return from where it was sent. It goes right back into his camp. And that's how you have to understand it. That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit over your children. Man, pray in the Spirit over your finances. Pray in the Spirit over your health. It builds you up in your most holy faith. Man, you're speaking things that words can't utter. Man, it says the Spirit prays in you, that you speak as the Spirit prays in you. I want the Spirit of God praying in me. Okay, but the devil knows where you'll let your mind go. So what he's going to do, the Bible refers to the thoughts that he gives you. What he's going to do is he's going to try to plant thoughts in your mind. And those thoughts, and listen, you just have to pay attention for a second here. Those thoughts then, he knows whether you've received them and allowed them to be planted in your head or you've rejected them. See, if you reject them, then that curse doesn't stick. But if you receive them, man, if you receive that, just like you'd receive a letter or you receive a package, that thought, man, you just think about it. If that thought doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's either the pizza that you ate the night before or it's the enemy. Neither one of them is going to bring any health to you. Neither one of them is going to bring any life to you. And see, the devil knows where you'll let your mind go. Man, and what you've got to do is you've got to do this. And listen, and it's easy. You'll say, oh my gosh, I've got 25,000 thoughts a day. Yes, but you have one at a time. And the Bible says, bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Everybody say that with me. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Say it again. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Say it again. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. See, let me just tell you, it sounds elementary and it's not. The words that you just spoke, let me just tell you, ripped through hell. Man, the enemy knows now. It's like, uh-oh, wait a second. And you might say, you know what? I heard that message and all hell broke loose at work. Let it! I'm just telling you, either your life is in the Father's hands or it's not. And you know what? Man, that's where you have to look at it. And you got to put your faith in the source. If your job, if your business, if your investments, if that's your source, the enemy can run roughshod. But if God's your source, he won't be able to touch your business. He won't be able to touch your livelihood. Man, every single time my livelihood starts getting jacked with, I've got to remind God, because God says, bring me into remembrance of my word, and remind the devil. I have to remind every single spiritual force, good and evil in my life, that God is my source, that God is where I put my trust, that God will enable me, will equip me, will empower me. And you know what? Man, I'll be able to enjoy life. The devil knows where you let your mind go. He can't read your mind, though. He doesn't know what you're thinking right now. He just knows the thoughts that he's tried to insert into your thinking that you didn't reject. You know, you have thoughts, you'll start thinking, you know, I was at the nightmare work night last night and Glenn didn't even really acknowledge me. Man, he made a big deal out of other people that came, but he did. And the nightmare is an outreach, Eric, we do across the street. And work nights are things that we do leading up to the outreach. And at the work nights, and we sweep the set. But I'm just getting on Eric a little bit, just, and maybe any of you guys, but hundreds of people there last night. It was amazing. But what's cool is that, man, he throws that thought at you, like, well, Glenn doesn't like me. And you say, you know what? That's not God. God's not going to tell you Glenn doesn't like you. That's not, that has no basis. And here's what you have to be careful of. The Bible talks about winds of doctrine, okay? The doctrine that I preach, it's based upon God's word, right? It's based upon the Bible, right? Okay, so you know where the basis is. Now listen, a wind of doctrine is something that blows in and you don't know where it's come from. if you can't find it in the Word, if you can't back it up 2 and 3 times, it doesn't, you know what? If I can't do that, I don't put it in my doctrine. It's like, God, you're going to have to show me. God, you're going to have to reveal to me. God, you're going to have to confirm this in your Word and confirm it again. So you know what? Man, to take a bold stand on anything, I need the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses from God's Word. You know what's interesting? Why did God use 4 men to record the gospel? And it's interesting because each one of them told the same stories from different angles, from different perceptions, from different personalities. But you know what? They speak of the same thing, the lordship of Jesus, the deity of Christ. See, it brings it all into, but it confirms it over and over and over again. The devil knows where you'll let your mind go. So, Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. See, this is an absolute. You know what this is? Proverbs 4 here is an all-in statement, right? Man, keep your eye on the Word. Keep it in the middle of your heart. Man, don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in front of you every single day. Man, you got to have friends. Let me just tell you, you have to have core friends in your life that are emailing you, that are texting you, that are calling you and quoting God's Word, speaking God's Word. You have to have that. And I'll tell you why, because you've got gossips in your life. And you've got people that are going to lead you astray in your life. You've got to have strong people in your life that are going to send the Word to you. You got to follow people on Instagram and Twitter that are going to present the Word. Men that are going to give it to you from a right angle. Why? Why? I understand your flesh doesn't like that. Man, you're not going to get any fashion trends out of that. You're not getting any fashion trends out of me. But you know what? You're going to get hope from me. And see, and that's going to be the key for you. Man, the key is Proverbs 4 right here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them, their health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And the issues of life don't come from Iran and Iraq and Syria and the Gaza Strip. They don't come from Ebola. They don't come from Wall Street. They don't come from Washington. Man, they come from your heart. Man, God's given you a dynamic now where you can take back your life, take back control of your life, be who God's called you to be. Man, I'm looking at people here. What if you woke up one day and realized you could be who God called you to be? You didn't have to be what people expect. You don't have to be what your experience mold you as. Man, I woke up and I realized, man, I could be who God's called me to be. I don't have to be who some facsimile of it. Man, I could terrorize darkness as a child of God. But see, it's huge for us. It's all about honoring God and honoring His Word. And really, the progression of our lives starts with receiving the Word with meekness. Where that meekness now, instead of me being strong in my own might, true meekness is me being strong in who God is in my life. That's what true meekness is. But there's a progression to our faith then, but there's also a regression to our fear. And our fear leads to worry, and worry to anxiety, and anxiety to depression, and depression to death. See, if you're in here today and you suffer from depression, let me just tell you, the enemy's trying to snuff you out. Enemy's trying to get you to give up. And you might say, well, it's a battle for me. You know what? I'd find a door to this church that was open, and I'd get in here and I'd help somebody set up chairs. I'd help somebody sweep. I'd go to that nightmare building and I'd clean. And you know, it's a running joke now that people say, man, I'll do anything. I'll scrub toilets. Go scrub one. Because you know what? There's liable to have to be a visitor to come in here and use it. And a clean toilet is a welcome mat for people's hearts. The opposite's true too. I'm just telling you, we got to buy in again. Doesn't matter what you've ever done. Doesn't matter how many messages I've preached. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many outreaches we've had. It doesn't matter how many bikes we gave away this summer. What matters is that next person you're going to lead to the Lord. What happens is that next person that's got no hope because they've been diagnosed with breast cancer, you're going to say, look, do you mind if I pray for you? God, I just thank you right now. And if you could get your hand on them, a light hand on their shoulder and say, God, I thank you. You know why? The prayer of faith will save the sick, but also you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. This is powerful. Everything in the world's being shaken. And listen, everybody look right here. There's peace here. There's calm here. There's God's rest here. I'm just telling you, I love leading this church, and I'm not leading or ever will from a position of fear. Because we win.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.